Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And this is Stephen coming at you live from the Bluegrass in Lexington, Kentucky on a Wednesday evening. And we're at episode number 266. Joining me tonight are the dynamic duo, one from Tennessee, one from about 20 feet away, Holly Philippi and the man, Dark Style, Daniel Dark, live from his trolley. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Yes. It is a hello. Hail me.
It is a hello. Yeah, I just confirmed with Daniel, and we literally both of us, and Holly as well, so it's all three of us, literally stopped working like 2 minutes before the show began. So, we've been going all day, folks, but we are glad to be here. It's break time. Well, you know, to hang out with you all, good listeners.
Oh, God. It has been a crazy week. Let me tell you.
You could say that again.
I'm telling you what. I got involved in a project a week ago. I am playing in a indie film, a mother nun role. So that's going to be interesting. We start shooting on Friday. It's an Amy McCorkle and Missy Goodman project. They wrote it. But Rebecca Westerman, she'll be here tomorrow night. We're filming in Lexington the next few days. So she will be here. She's a producer on it. Eric Schindel is going to direct. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least. It's going to be really cool. We've got some really good faces and cast that'll be coming. So, yeah, we've got that. And
good
then,
crew,
not to mention,
too.
I am planning two conventions. So, yeah, I've got Imaginarium, you know, virtual and physical. So, yeah, it's been crazy, and we're gonna have a house full all weekend because some of the actors will be staying with us. The cameraman
and
Matthew
and the DP. Cinematographer Matthew Smith, yeah, he'll be here.
So yeah, we're gonna have all kinds. Natalie Hutcherson, she's gonna be here all weekend playing a role. So
and
it's gonna be interesting.
Yes, yeah, but you'd be proud, Daniel. On short notice, Holly landed a Catholic church as a location, on 2 days' notice. And if you know how difficult it is sometimes to get permission to shoot films in churches, this was awesome. Holly did a great job.
I had to talk to the bishop's secretary and everything, and I got it all taken care of.
Oh, yeah.
It's just I got to get the email sent over to their church. But, yeah, it was crazy, but I got one.
Holly went up the chain of command and did wonderfully. And the funny thing is they ended up with the church that I spent my first 9 years of education at, kindergarten through eighth grade, Mary Queen of the Holy Rosary on Clay's Mill. Just how it worked out. They ended up with the church and school that, you know, well, they're not going to use the school for the shoot. They're just using the church. But, same place that I spent my formative years at before I moved on to Lexington Catholic. So it was quite a cool coincidence.
It's kind of cool. And the little lady that works there, I keep calling her little girl. She's not a little girl. She's just a young woman. But she only volunteers 3 hours on Tuesdays, you know, every week. Well, she hadn't been there for a couple weeks. She was going to leave in 7 minutes. I called before 7 minutes, the end of her shift, which is funny because, you know, 7-star press. Stephen's there 7. You know, it's a godly number, blah, blah, blah. So we got the 7 deal. Well, she said, "This is so weird," because she said, "I had just mentioned earlier about getting a video ministry started in our church." And she said, no other Catholic church in town does one. I had just mentioned it. She said, not even an hour ago. I had just talked to the priest about it and, you know, some other staff there. She goes, we have just discussed this. And apparently they got a grant. And she said, so, you know, I was going to have to figure out. I didn't know who I was going to contact or where I was going to go with this because I needed help. You know, understanding what equipment I'll need for the sanctuary and what lighting and blah, 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 sound, you know. And she said, this is bizarre. And I said, God works in mysterious ways, honey. So we're actually, me and Steve are going to go meet with her on Tuesday and help her out. So, yeah, it's a small world.
So they know that the demons are coming into the church and working. So,
yeah, I'm gonna have to drink a lot of holy water for make sure the raptors are strong.
Drinking the holy water, it's called Blanton's, isn't it? And that holy water.
Well, pretty
well,
much
for me,
and
I guess. It helps me get through, but oh man, yeah. But
yeah,
I've been helping Holly get ready for her role. I've been doing my part, and Holly's, I'm sure she's so impressed with my changing of voices for the different actors and or characters that I've been reading opposite her, getting her ready for her big role. But I've been
doing
my part.
And you all will enjoy it. You'll enjoy it so much because I get to play it. The part was made for me, I swear, because the name of it's Mother. All my children call me Mother. They don't call me Mom or Mommy. They never have. It's always been Mother. So, and the name of the character is Mother. And then she's real stern and, you know, don't put up with nothing. And she's, you know, got a little attitude. And I was like, yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Most of your kids called you Mother because they just left off the ending of the word, didn't they? When they got teenagers and stuff.
Mother Trucker. Yeah, I got called that too.
Oh, that's too much.
We'll get to hear some of those stories. Diana will be on here tonight. And if y'all didn't know, Diana is actually my daughter. So this is going to be interesting. And she's actually a mental health advocate too, you know, she deals with some things, but she's actually was diagnosed agoraphobic years ago when she was still in school. So her being able to call in there, I think it's really cool. And she does great at Imaginarium. When she's there, she volunteers and she's just like a social butterfly. She does really well. So yeah, she's doing great. So I'm so proud of her for coming on tonight.
It's gonna be awesome. And her cohort
with Pamela.
Got some great stuff going on, and we got to give them their proper, awesome Star Chamber show introductions.
We will.
So we don't want to say too much about them. Yeah, definitely not. And looks like
Daniel, does Daniel want to say a little bit about his week?
Clayton's already stirring stuff up in the chat room. Hi to Clayton.
Oh God. But Daniel, you want to talk about your week real quick before we have to do the sponsors?
Running a trolley cigar bar every day from midday to 7 o'clock at night. Just when you haven't worked in 10 years, it starts getting, you know, a little bit taxing on you.
But I'm
easing my way into it, you know, doing it every day.
It's hard.
Plus the gas prices. My God, I saw your Instagram post, and it has like an $84 price tag on your gas bill up there. Like, woo!
Well, I had a half a tank, so, you know, it could have been a whole lot worse.
Oh, Clayton says, keep up with them trolley pics on Instagram. He loves them.
Yeah, he loves them. Yeah, following Daniel on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read the caption today, but I saw you even had a dog today on your Instagram post.
That's my baby boy.
That's your baby? That's yours? That's awesome. That's awesome.
I did not know that. Daniel.
He spent most of the day with me up at the trolley today, so. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He
Well, I know if I had a trolley, my kitties would definitely be hanging out with me. So that's you're doing the right thing, Daniel.
Well,
most definitely.
Like this morning, I've got a little cabinet in there that I keep my vacuum stuff in. And
yeah.
The door had opened up and closed on it and let a little – one of the pieces fell out. You would have thought that that Satan himself was coming after that poor pup because he climbed all the way up, you know, over me, you know, while I'm driving, you know, up on, onto me and up onto the engine compartment of the trolley trying to get away from whatever it was. And I couldn't tell what it was. You know, I could hear something, you know, making a noise, but I couldn't tell. And every time that thing would move, he'd be like trying to get up on, you know, where I was sitting there driving with my feet and stuff. I'm like, get back. I cannot do this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's too much. I know how it gets. That's why I rarely drive with cats in the car. And when they do, they're in a case. Oh, man. That's awesome. Well, what do you say we do some sponsors here? Because we're a couple, few minutes away from the call.
Go for it.
So tonight we have two great ones, one of whom is actually in the chat room. So you express your appreciation to Sandy Lender live tonight in the chat room. If you'd like, one of our sponsors of the show and the other sponsor, of course, the amazing folks at Per Bostedt Publications. And so we'll start off with Per Bostedt, and then we'll give you a Sandy Lender spot. And, yeah, definitely some great stuff going on in Sandy's World and Per Bostedt. All right, here we go. Per Bostedt Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostedt offers a little bit of everything. Explore post-World War II England with 11-year-old Sylvie and Edelweiss for Elizabeth, the sequel to Andrea Gilbey Bottletops for Battleships. Or dive into the thrilling world of Karma and Crime, a new supernatural mystery by J. Paul Burroughs. You can find these titles and more at PerBostedtPublications.com at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at In Conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Magna Cum Murder in Indianapolis in October. Per Bostedt Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Shout out to Sari Marion, Marion Allen, and, of course, T. Lee Harris. Love them very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now we're going to turn over our attention to the one and only Sandy Lender.
Do you prefer dragons cute and cuddly and playing among half-blood fairies? Maybe you like to see fledgling dragons growing into companions of characters you cheer for, from shoulder dragons to dragons in space, to warrior dragons who take to the skies ahead of armies of men, to towering dragons who rise from the stones of mountains to blot out the very stars with their mass. Fantasy author Sandy Lender brings them all to life. Follow award-winning author Sandy Lender on the Amazon platform. Stop by her booth at the Imaginarium Convention, online or in person, to discover your next favorite dragon species.
And thank you, Sandy. And yes, she does actually have enormous dragons in some of her work, and very small ones too, which are going to be one of the biggest merchandise hits in author and entertainment history when she gets those out there. So thank you, Sandy. Back to you, Holly and Daniel. Well, as we wait for the call here.
People, pay attention to your emails if you applied to Imaginarium, because I have a few people out that did request or submitted workshop ideas, and I have emailed, and I've still got a few that haven't responded yet. So I need a response, people, if you want to get your workshops on there. That's
right.
That's what I need to remind.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good segue. We posted just a couple days ago 27 new workshops on the Imaginarium
programming
page.
I added more today.
and four more were added today. They're going to be put on the site tomorrow. But 15 brand new ones in the in-person event, 12 in the virtual event. And, yeah, there'll be several more added. Four more, in fact, today were confirmed
five.
And finished. So five. Okay, five. And then we will be
five today.
Adding those on there.
Mm-hmm. And really it'll be seven because John Pike is doing something really cool. He is going to actually, when he does his in-person, he's going to bring his laptop. So while he's doing his in-person presentation, he's also going to be doing it live on Excel-Event,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. So that's two
mm-hmm.
workshops in one I'm getting, and he's doing that for his both of his workshops. So that'll be interesting. And then I've got a few more that we're going to stream from the in-person Imagineerium over to Excel-Event. And I did work through today. I went through and actually got them all scheduled. Steven's just got to put that info for me on the website. So just keep a watch out, guys, because here in the next, you know, from here on, we're going to have a lot of new updates. So just keep checking back. Be patient. You know, if you have an immediate need, PM me on Facebook. You can get a hold of me a lot quicker than you can an email. So if you're friends with me, PM me. It's a whole lot quicker.
Cool.
I'm just saying.
And guess what? We have two guests on the line right now. So
woo-hoo!
I think it's time
Yay!
For the introductions, and then we're going to turn their microphones on, and we're going to get started with this party. So I will introduce both of them in order and bring both on here, but we have two featured guests tonight. Our first guest I'm going to introduce tonight is Diana Vizorek, and Diana is a cottage core lifestyle enthusiast, and she is the owner and operator of Cottage Core Creations. She is a crochet artist, an artist and illustrator, a spell candle creator, and a mental health advocate. And joining her tonight is a multifaceted artist of many trades who has a great company called P. Hopper Crafts. And you can find presences with P. Hopper Crafts on pages such as Etsy, Instagram, and Facebook. And P. Hopper Crafts has so far sold items in 23 of the 50 states, in addition to doing many craft fairs and live events and other things. And this, of course, is the company owned by Pamela Hopper. So welcoming to the Star Chamber for the very first time, Diana Vizorek and Pamela Hopper. Your mics are now live. Welcome to the Star Chamber show.
Thank you.
Hi.
There they are.
Hello, doctor, and hello, Miss Hopper. I always call you P. Hopper because that's what you go by
yeah.
on your Facebook. So I'm always like, "There's P. Hopper," you know. I'm trying to get Diana to talk her into actually coming to Imagineerium and sharing the table with Diana and selling because
yeah.
I said, "Oh, people would love her her work. She makes
oh, yeah.
some beautiful,
oh, yeah.
beautiful." Mugs and tumblers and all kinds of neat stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it, and it is good work. And I'm excited to actually finally get to talk to Pamela myself because I've heard so much from Diana about Pamela. So this is kind of like a discovery evening for me. I already know Diana is awesome and super talented. So, yeah, this is going to be fun. We're going to turn our attention to a lot of art tonight, which is exciting for me because, yeah, we usually talk a lot about books and film and things like that and sometimes game design. But it's fun to every once in a while immerse into various art. So I'm excited, and I know Daniel definitely is an art enthusiast as well. So this will be a
yep.
fun conversation.
And that we have a question already from the chat room for my lovely daughter, Diana. Sandy Linder would like to know, since you are a spell candle creator, she says, I've got to know, how is it possible for a candle to explode? Can you make one that will explode, apparently? That's what she's asking.
Not legally, probably.
I can do that.
Well, that's a firework, not a candle, but thank you.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
That's
well,
that
do
is
we
funny.
Want, or do you just want it to explode? What do you need?
Yeah.
Probably just some gunpowder sprinkled in there along in the mix.
I have no idea what Sandy's talking about, but she said there's a warning on her vagina candle saying it can't be burned for more than 2 hours. What is a vagina candle?
Gwyneth Paltrow just released a vagina candle. It's supposed to smell like her vagina.
Oh, I think she's meaning that if you light any candle, just about every candle has the warning, but if you keep a candle lit too long, that it will actually make the glass too hot and bust it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because she said Gwyneth Paltrow apparently has a vagina candle.
Yeah, and she advertised it to smell like her vagina, so that's what it's called.
Well, that's disgusting. Clayton said the conversation tanked quickly.
Ask her if she's lit it. What does it smell like? I'm curious, but I don't.
Let me ask Sandy. Sandy, do you own this candle? Answer me in the chat room. Do you have Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candle? She hasn't answered yet. She will.
Well,
she just said she wouldn't want one in her house. Oh, my God, Clayton says tuna. You are terrible. You are terrible, Clayton. Our chat room has just went downhill today.
Yeah, downhill. Well,
she said she's laughing her ass off at my response that that's disgusting. Well, why don't you start off, one of you start off and tell exactly what all you do. What do you do and make?
Pam can go first.
Oh, perfect. I was going to say the same thing to you. I started out with paintings, but now I'm more into like the custom tumblers and t-shirts and decals. I've dabbled in some like glass work. I tried the soldering, but that didn't work out too well, but I make a liquor lamp. That seems to be a big thing. But my cups seem to be the biggest seller, fan favorite.
Well, I'm going to ask you then about the liquor lamps because, see, I save a bunch of bottles because I like to I'd like to sell them, but I don't know what the law is. What is the law like using a empty liquor bottle? I mean, have you ran into any trouble?
Not with the liquor bottles because, of course, we clean them all out and
right.
We just drill a hole in the back of them and add, decorative lava or gravel or whatever, and then we just run the wire up through it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. That is
very cool.
Yeah, because I just like putting the little string lights down in them, corking them, and I just think they're beautiful.
Yeah, I love them. Some of them turn out really good.
They're really pretty.
Commission Pamela to turn over one of my Blanton's bottles at some point, since I've got a few of those.
Yeah, we've got so many bottles.
Don't send any one-of-a-kind bottle to me, because sometimes I do bust. I busted a bottle last week that was in the shape of Texas, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah, it can happen. That's easy because it starts that poof, 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 and that's it, goes everywhere. Fragments fly. But like for authors, listen up, authors, lovely people out there. She can make cups with your designs, your names for promo stuff. She can make T-shirts. Oh. She can make – you're doing decals too, I've seen.
Yes.
Like for vehicles and stuff.
Yes.
That's cool. So you could even take we need to talk about that. So like Imaginarium and make a decal for a vehicle.
Yeah. Yep.
That's neat.
I can make them up to 20, I think it's 23 inches long and 12 inches wide. So I have a huge one on the back of the back window of my car that everybody can see.
Oh, Clayton's asking, are you less expensive than Cafe Press?
Well, I have not a clue what Cafe Press is, but
okay.
I'm hoping so. The decals are $1 an inch.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. Well, Cafe Press is a site that, like, anybody can go to,
like,
and you can design your own
like
promo stuff,
yeah.
T-shirts.
Okay, yeah.
They've even got underwear. They've got cups, lanyards. I mean, anything you could possibly imagine. Yeah, it's crazy. You can go down a rabbit hole, literally. But, you could put your design,
When you say the price, is that a square inch or is that a linear inch?
Linear inch. Like, if you want, usually if you have like an 8x8, it'll just be $8. Or like the one on the back of my car, it's 23 inches, and that's just, it's 23 by 12, it's $23.
That's
cheap. That'd be cool. Put on your trolley.
Mm-hmm. Or just random Daniel Dark decals of Daniel's silhouette. We run around post those around town.
That's awesome.
Yeah, put it on everybody's car.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's too good.
Yeah, I was thinking more if you can do artwork where if you had a picture of the trolley, you could put it into a note setting.
Yeah.
Ooh. That'd be
very
cool.
Yeah.
As I said, it's the ideas are limitless with stuff like that because you provide the artwork, and she can just go crazy with it. It'd be the same, like think about a Tumblr for, like, your book. It was, okay, say Daniel's, for example, say Knife's Tale. You could have the cover of your book wrap around, and then, you know, she can do, like, blood effects. It looks like blood dripping and stuff. I mean, it's really cool. I've seen the one that you did for Diana. I love it, by the way, that you did, like, the murder. It's like, you know, got serial killers
serial
or something
killers.
Around it. Newspaper articles. And then it's got, like, blood dripping down. I mean, it's really cool. I love that cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, my favorite
awesome.
Ones that I've...
How much are your cups running?
The 30 ounces are 35, 20 ounces are 30, and then I can do 10 ounces, those are 25, just depending on the ounce. I don't charge extra for, like, the glitter. It's a flat rate of 35 for the 30 ounces. Customize however you want it.
And if they order bulk, then, you know, they could get a special rate from you then.
Yes.
What
okay.
type of textiles are you using?
I'm sorry?
What type of textiles are you using for those?
I use my Cricut Design Space to, like, design all the text and all that stuff.
And then
what's the cup made out of?
Oh, I'm sorry. The cups are double-walled stainless steel.
Okay.
And then you use, epoxy? The epoxy that goes around, because that's what you put your designs out with, and then you epoxy it.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very
okay.
cool.
And then
that
keeps it safe. Easy to clean. You just, you don't want to, because I had a cup that Martin got me for Christmas that was, it's made like your cups, but it's a tumbler, but it had Elsa, and I didn't realize, I read later, you're not supposed to put them soaking in water because, you know,
yeah.
you can get like stuff in the top. So a little water had got in there and just bled some of the color on the material. I mean, it didn't tear it up. It looks great still, but I see it. And I was like, oh, crap. So now I'm cautious, and I always leave them sitting on the sink when I'm doing dishes. And then when I get ready to wash it, then I put it in the water, you know, wash it real quick and rinse it, and then I'm done. They're easy to wash because they're stainless steel on the side. Simple.
Yeah, they have to stay out of direct, like if they're sitting in a like direct sunlight, eventually they'll kind of get warpy, and then no soaking in hot water. Definitely no dishwashers. I don't know how many times I stuck one of mine in the dishwasher and forgot about it, and it was awful.
Yeah, because that'll make it bleed. And that's what I said. They don't even need to be in the dishwasher. I mean, really, you know, if a person's got one, you could just it don't take nothing to wash them out because it's stainless steel. Stainless steel's easy. Like nothing hardly ever sticks to it unless you like leave something sit out forever and ever and ever, you know. But yeah, if it's only sitting there like a day or something, you know, you can easily wash it out. It's no big deal. And they don't harbor germs either because stainless steel is, you know, pretty anti-germy.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I do like them.
Well,
and even wine tumblers.
Yeah.
One of these days I'm going to have you make me a wine tumbler.
Got to make it one that can hold a whole bottle's worth, though. Because that's all he needs.
I need one that can hold an entire bottle.
You're looking for a 40-ounce wine tumbler, aren't you?
At least. Oh, that'll be a special commission. But
well, Diana, tell them a little bit about what all you do.
Well, I always tell everybody I can make just about anything out of yarn that you request. I specifically enjoy making blankets the most, but, you know, they're expensive, so I don't get many of those orders. But I could do clothes. I can do dolls. I do wash rags. I mean, anything, really. I can do it. And then I do the candles, too, because I wanted to branch out to other stuff. And I started doing spell candles as well, but I also do regular candles and wax melts. Any scent, really, if you have a request of one, I could, you know, order the oil for it or whatever. But yeah, I also
candle.
Do what?
The vagina candle?
I could.
No vagina candle.
I mean, I could, but I'm not expert on what vaginas smell like. I don't go sniffing them, but, you know.
I just want to get some fart-scented ones I can send to everybody as Christmas gifts. That would be fun.
Do what, Daniel?
I've never heard of that until tonight, so it's just funny to me. There's a market for everything.
You got that right. There is. I seen the other day, I'll let Dinah get back to her crocheting, but I seen, and I think your brother posted it, Diana. I think Noah posted it. It was Noah Martin 1. It was one of your brothers. And it is a tea diffuser, you know, that you put loose tea in, you know, to soak, and it's a butt hanging on the side of the cup, and it looks like it's got diarrhea, and then it's got, like, the poopy that actually holds your tea in the water.
Oh, I saw
it. Did you see it? It's disgusting. I think I sent it to you, Stephen. Didn't I send you the picture of that?
Oh, I laughed very hard, yes.
Noah's like, why? Why? And I'm like, Daniel said there's a market for everything. There truly is a market for everything.
Holly, I'm already desiring to send fart-scented candles that I'll get Diane and make. I'll send them to Noah and Martin for Christmas. That'll be my gift to both of them.
It can't be no worse than what they output. So
yeah, that's what they came for.
That's the truth.
But I will. But all, in all seriousness, though, I do want to brag about Diana when she just kind of said, "Oh, I make dolls." Well, let me tell you, I take my characters extremely seriously, and I have a couple of them that are my absolute favorite. One of whom is my favorite character to write. Of course, y'all have been listening to the show. You know, Raiden Valkyrie, my favorite character to write, and then the Ragnar Stormbringer, another one near and dear to my heart. I went on a mission and handed the challenge to Diana to make crochet dolls of both of them. And let me tell you, she knocked it out of the park. They came out fabulous. And I love them. I mean, even the cats love them here. Everybody loves them. But
the funny thing is, when Diana was working on them, She had them sitting there one day, and my granddaughter, you've all heard me talk about Raven. Of course, you hear us talk about Raven and Lily a lot, but little Juniper, she's still little. She's coming into her own. But Raven actually looked at him and asked Diana, is that Mammy and Steven? And it was Raiden and Ragnar. She thought it was me and Steven.
Yeah, she thought it was Solly. Yeah, me. Yeah. It was hilarious.
You have more bodies to them, don't you?
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, I wish.
I wish.
But let me tell you, the readers that I have reacted, they just thought they looked fantastic. And those are, you know, readers are going to tell you what they think. And people that have been, you know, have read my books regularly and so forth thought they looked fantastic. And so because I know that we're probably not at liberty to say publicly who else is after they saw them, but a couple of two award-winning creatives, one award-winning author and one award-winning filmmaker. I'm not going to say their names publicly because I don't know if they want to reveal it or not, but I know they both got a hold of Diana right after seeing those to make characters from their worlds. So, I mean, that's how good they are. I mean, they are just fantastic. And Diana did a great job.
When Diana was little, she wanted to crochet because I used to cross stitch. I used to crochet, do all that. But then, you know, my carpal tunnel got so bad, I couldn't do it no more. But I taught Diana how to do a chain. Well, then, you know, we lived around Amish for, you know, she grew up around the Amish. I lived around the Amish for 21 years. So that, you know, Diana grew. And my best friend, Levina, was old order Amish. And she sat down and showed Diana a few more stitches. And then Diana just went off and went crazy with it. And then here in the past couple years, you know, she just can make anything. I mean, she is a true crochet artist. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
She just got a knack for it. So if you have any characters you'd like to see or Sandy Dragons or, you know, even
Shoulder
coasters
dragons.
Or whatever, I mean, she can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Clayton is already asking about doing his Faustina character.
Yep.
What's that?
Yeah, I had an author message me after you posted yours, and he told me not to say who it was because he said he hasn't had an actual, like, representation of his book character, but I'm working with him right now, but he asked me to read the book to figure out what I wanted out of the character I got out of the book I was reading. So I haven't got to read his book yet, so I haven't got to it.
Oh, yeah, so he's given you creative vision. So he's not like saying this way. He's actually given you, because he wants your creative perspective. That's cool.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
He offered me the free audio book, but I was like, well, I'll just go ahead and buy it. I bought his book off Amazon.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Diana. Supporting indie authors. That's awesome.
Clay says she could crochet little cigar trolleys.
Uh-huh.
I could.
There
yes,
you go,
could.
Daniel. Little
yeah,
trolleys.
She can do anything.
Cigar trolleys.
It's crazy. And
I had somebody ask me the other day if I can make a little doobie for their cat and put catnip inside of it.
A joint with catnip. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I would get two for our cats.
It's limitless,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You and Pam do what you do, you know, somebody's got a vision, you could just run with it. But Diana is always, she's painted too. Pam said she painted also. So you guys are multimedia because, yeah, Diana's even had, when she was, what were you, probably sixth grade, you had something hanging in the art studio in BB, I know, from school.
Yeah, it was a watercolored frog on a lily pad, and it was in the art center.
Yes, it was so cool. And then you've done, like, what was the etching? Glass etching. You've done, yeah, you've done that. You've done painting, because I got one of your paintings. It's one of your apocalypse paintings in here. I've got one of those. But, yeah, I mean, you've just done so many different mediums.
Well, I've had other people request me in, like, the last couple of weeks about doing some art for their, like, somebody who makes music asked me to do, like, a art cover for their CD. And I told them, you know, I'm waiting to get my digital art pad, and I'm going to do that next. So.
Yeah, we're going to put you to work after that. You're in trouble. You're going to be in trouble once you get the art pad.
Considering you do so much for that, do you do any tatting?
Mm-mm.
What is it?
Tatting.
Tattooing. He wants to know if you do any tatting.
No, I mean, I could sketch, like, tattoos, but I can't do them because I don't think – I don't have a steady hand as it is, so, like, the vibrating tattoo gun just wouldn't work well, I don't think.
Not
oh, my God, you'd be all over the place.
Yeah.
Tatting is with yarn and stuff, small yarn.
Oh, you mean like the doilies and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I have, like, I could, but I don't particularly want to. I have the needles for them, but... it's so tedious.
That is tedious work for
Pam
sure.
Pam actually sent me a thing the other day. It was a micro koala out of yarn. Somebody crocheted it, but it was micro size.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, she gets all kinds of requests. Me and Diana did get mother-daughter tattoos, y'all know. My birthday, so back in February, which is cool. We got them about the same place on the arm, you know, and everything. So when I look at it, I always think of Sissy, you know, every day. So, yeah, it's really cool.
That's awesome.
She was all depressing about it and was like, get a tattoo with me so you can think of me when I die. I'm like, oh, like a guilt trip me into it, I guess.
Oh, dear. Well, let me ask Diana something here, though, because I, you know, have definitely Diana's had to put up with me every time she visits or calls or something. She always gets to hear me yell Cottagecore really loud. And, of course, that's the name of her company, Cottagecore Creations. But there is a such thing, a cottagecore, like, movement, lifestyle movement that's international. And, Diana, could you explain for our audience what cottagecore is and why you chose to, you know, like I said, why you like it and made it your name of your company?
Well, cottagecore is like a I guess some people use it as a lifestyle, but it's like a fashion trend, essentially, and it's more like just about cottages and nature and like more simplicity of life, like farming and homesteading your own things and all that kind of stuff. Loose fitting clothing.
Everything that me and Diana promote.
Very cool. Yeah, it's popular though. I've seen it a lot more since knowing Diana. I've paid attention to every time I've seen it come up.
Well, Stephen couldn't believe it was actually, and I was like, "Yeah, that's me." I said, "I call it bougie country. It's bougie country." But yeah, there's actually a term, cottagecore. I don't go by like the fashion aesthetic. Diana loves the fashion aesthetic of it, but I'm more for like the living part, which you are too. You've got a garden now and all that, because my God, she was raised, you know, with a garden, and I've had Raven out in the garden since she was born, and, you know, so Diana was always around that stuff. She wasn't interested then, but she is now, but she did pay attention.
Rhea, I just did the garden the other day, and then Friday our quail come in, so we will be doing quail too.
Yeah, selling quail eggs.
Yeah, and then their offspring, the generations after that, we will be we'll be selling the meat.
Oh, cool. Do you have chickens, Pam?
I grew up on the farm, but I don't currently have chickens.
So you understand the cottagecore aesthetic, too.
Oh, yeah. My dad just actually had me the other day help him till the garden so he can start everything up.
There you go. There you go. It's always fun to play in the dirt.
Yeah.
I asked Ray the other day if we could have a single cow, but he said that only if we could butcher it. And I was like, well, no, I can't. I'll get attached to the cow.
Yeah, when you name them and pet them, and that's bad because then you can't eat them. You know, you could sell them, but it's hard them sitting down. But you know what? You don't eat meat anyway that much. So it really wouldn't matter.
No, I don't. Well, it's still fat. It still dies.
Well, I know.
I'm aiming.
But it's for a good cause. It's to feed your children.
They don't need it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm naming all 50 of the first generation of quail, though. And then we had like, Raymond, what was it, like 12 fish, and we named them all. Like, I named everything.
Oh, and guys, yes, you know my utter phobia of freaking snakes. Well, she has two. She has two as pets.
I do, but they have to be separated. They can't be around each other because they're two different species types.
I say put them together.
Well, I just want to say that gave me a moment for great fun with our graphic. And if you haven't seen our graphic we put out for the show tonight, that is the closest you will see Holly near a snake. And so it's a beautiful mother-daughter moment with one of Diana's snakes. And I just said, yeah, I'm going to put them right next to each other. This is great.
Yeah, I was there a few months back. What, we had a birthday party. I think it or was – what was it? It wasn't birthday. What was
yes,
it? Diana.
It was a birthday. It was Juniper's birthday.
It was Juniper's birthday, the baby. And it was her first. And that stupid snake, and I just got so I could sit in Diana's living room because it's on the other side of the room, and I just don't look over there. But the stupid thing started climbing the side of the cage. And I said, okay, I'm gone. Here, kids, bye. Mammy's gone, and I'm up. No, I left. I'm done. Done.
You are so mean. She never has escaped.
Mm-mm.
Like she's good.
Mm-mm. Well, she would
she's
when I'm there. No.
Well, God forbid she like move around and stretch out.
No. No. Thanks. Mm-mm.
Now, when
this thing
stretching out next to you in the bed, it's time to get rid of it.
Yeah. That's when it's sizing
it's
me up.
Well, I don't sleep with her, so.
But you let her wrap around your head. Ooh, how long is she now, Bella?
Raymond, how long do you think she is? 5 feet? 5 feet, about 5 feet when you hold her out.
he's
quite bigger than the other one we have. The male, he's really small.
Ain't no good Holly's snake, excited. But a dead snake, and I still don't want to be around it. Doesn't matter.
Well,
oh,
hey,
I know.
At least I got to put that graphic together. That was fun.
And I told Stephen earlier, I wish to God I'd have made you and your brother scared of snakes, but I didn't because I didn't want my kids to walk around phobic like I am. I mean, it's not I'm scared. I'm phobic. I lose my mind and I didn't want my kids to have to live life like that because they, you know, I want them to be able to enjoy the outdoors and not worry about it. So I'm like, oh, yeah, pick them up or whatever. Just don't bring them around me. Do not bring them in the house. Do not show them to me. I don't care. You do you. But, you know, so, but now I look back and I wish I'd have made them scared of
them. You're so mean. The other day we were outside when Robert was helping me with the garden, and Raven said she saw a snake, and I was, like, trying to race him over there because I know he probably would have killed it if he got it. And I was like, no, ran off, luckily. I know I don't want them to, like, bite the kids, so I always just pick them up with, like, the shovel and put them in the cornfield, move them.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
whatever.
Do you like snakes, Pam?
Yeah, I have one.
Oh no! Oh God, what's yours?
She's a piebald. She kind of looks like a ball python, but she has she's half albino.
Oh.
That sounds pretty. You got to send me pictures.
I will. She has these little jack-o'-lantern looking spots all over her. She's still a baby though. Mm. She's about 2 foot right now.
Mm. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah,
What is Bella? She's some kind of what is she?
She's a python.
Python.
Yeah.
And then the one downstairs is a
he's a California king.
California king. No thanks. No thanks. Mm-mm. So who were, I'll let you guys answer this, who were some of your early inspirations? I mean, what kind of aesthetic did you start to cling to at an early age for the viewers?
I don't know
what
you're asking.
For art or just in general?
Yes, for art, your creativity, what sparked you?
I like all things spooky Halloween, so the spooky aesthetic, the Ouija boards and all that stuff, that's what created mine. My first thing I made with resin was Ouija boards.
Oh, wow. So you like the witchy aesthetic?
Yeah.
Yes, my girl. Diana, go ahead and tell them what sparked you.
I don't know. I don't think anything particularly sparked me.
Well, I don't know. You like the whole scene, emo. She had three different colors of hair extensions. She used to wear furries and all these colorful bracelets.
I don't think that has anything to do with art, but thank you.
No, but you loved all that stuff, and that's what you started, gravitating for. That's what sparked your interest.
I can always remember seeing Diana walk down the hallways with these furry, little boots. I think they might have been rainbow.
Yes, they were.
Well, okay, I'm fashion forward. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I think it all began when I was super young, and then we would watch Project Runway all the time. And I was like,
yes,
ooh, I want to design clothes. Now I don't want to, but I wanted to back then. So then I would sketch my own clothing ideas at five. Which I'm sure they weren't pretty good. In my mind, they're pretty good. I remember them pretty good. But they probably aren't. But and I guess from there, and then I really liked art class, and we learned different art history. And I took art class every year until I graduated. I even took some pottery classes. So,
And I went to school and did a lot of meetings fighting for the art. Because people didn't want to stick up for the music department, the art department. They wanted to give, all this money to the sports department and this, the little country schools. The sports department got anything they wanted. But to heck with the music and the arts and all that and drama. And so I would go to the meetings and, I'd work with the art teacher, her art teacher. And her art teacher, they just loved me because they was like, you actually take an interest in this. This is an important class for us. I said, yes, because when Noah and Diana took art, it was an important class because that was an outlet for them. That is an outlet for teenage children. It's music, is, art, is literature, is, drama. That is an outlet for them. to, you know, share their expression and share their emotions. And maybe they're not sporty. Maybe they're not interested in that. They are creatives. Let them, you know, create, flourish. And it's sad that they're snuffing that out of schools. It made me so mad.
Well, they even, I never took home ec class because they even took home ec out so they can have their own wrestling room instead of sharing the gym. So then they took home ec out, which I think was absolutely ridiculous. I think that's necessary because a lot of people don't come from homes that, like, teach them how to sew their own clothes. I had to watch, like, YouTube tutorials to even learn how to sew buttons. Like, people don't know how to sew their own stuff together. People don't know how to cook. Like, they don't come from families. A lot of people just don't cook. They buy food a lot. And then, like, don't know how to use basic washing machines and stuff like that. Like, it's just not an everyday, like, thing to some people.
Right, or how to balance their checkbooks, or how to check the air in the tire, or how, you know, there's things like that. Check in your oil, you know. And that's why when you're on drove, I wanted you to know how to, you know, take, you know, check your tire pressure to be able to put air in your tires and how to look, you know, check your oil and all that.
Yeah, anything with my cars, I've had to, like, YouTube.
I know. Well, you even go as far as doing spark plugs. You just did your own spark plugs a while back, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I YouTubed the entire thing. Had to go to NAFTA and get some pieces.
Yes, because Diana moved out. Well, you moved in with Raymond, what, you were 17? Almost 18. Yeah, so, yeah, she was gone at a young age because she had, well, she had Raven when she was 15. So, you know, but she did graduate. She graduated high school, got all that done. And, you know, then I let her move. And so, but, you know, she didn't know a lot of that stuff, you know, because she had been working, going to school and all that. You know, because she'd had Raven. And so, yeah, she didn't know all that stuff. So YouTube has, it really helps people. But, yeah, they shouldn't take that out of schools. People need that. It's basic living principles, you know?
I think so. And then it really, it shows all the children of all genders that it, like, it's not, like, just women who cook, men who do car stuff. You know, it's, like, teaching everybody how to do it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's that, you know, everybody's got to wash their clothes. Everybody's got to check their oil. Everybody's got to, you know, have to change a tire. It crosses all genders. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're male or female or binary or whatever. It does not matter. You know, you need to learn these basic life skills. There is a dad. I don't know what the channel is on YouTube. And I've seen an article about him a while back, but I don't remember the channel name. But he's a dad, and he does all these YouTube videos about the subject and teaches kids, you know, how to do all this stuff. And I thought that was really cool.
Did you see that guy on Pornhub where he doesn't make porn? He just, like, compliments you and stuff?
No. That's funny. He just compliments you. Well, I guess that's good for people that have low self-esteem or they need to pick me up. Yeah. There's literally something for everyone. What is some of your early, because I know, Dinah, you've wrote some poetry and messed around with that. And Pam probably has too, you know, being a creative. What were some of your earlier literary influences? I know, Diana, you like to read about Anne Frank. You were fascinated by her story.
Yeah, I've read her book at least six different times.
Right. What was some of your early literary influences, Pam?
I'm trying to think of his name. I think it might have been John Steinbeck. He wrote little short books with a bunch of poems in them. I think that was his name. There was one poem that I remember still to this day. It's the weirdest poem, and I think his name was John Steinbeck. He had, like, the white books
with the...
Was it Robert Frost?
No. Get it together, woman. Jesus.
Robert Frost. No, I can't remember...
No, I think you're right. I remember what book you're talking about.
It may have been Steinbeck.
And, like, it had a white cover, and it has the, like, little just pencil doodles on it.
It's the one where the kid's walking off the sidewalk or something like that. Is it that one?
Yes, it's that one.
Yeah.
The poem I remember, I read it when I was little, and I still remember it. It's like my beard grows to my toes. I never wears no clothes. I wrap my hair around my bear and down the road I go.
That's awesome.
And that just stuck with me because I remember it had like a little old man, but his beard was like real long and it was just wrapped around him.
That's awesome. Have you wrote any poetry?
I used to try to, I thought I was going to be a singer at one point, and I tried to, like, make my own little songs, and they weren't the best, but at the time, I thought they were the coolest things that had ever been written.
We are always our own worst critics. Yes, indeed. I know Stephen did. Stephen's wrote since childhood, haven't you?
Oh, yes. It's been a long road, for sure.
Well, I envy you all, because I am literature is not my thing. No.
But you used to love to read. I mean, you did read.
I like to read. I'm not a writer. I just, like, I have ideas, but I can't write them in a, like, interesting way that people would, like, care to read them. They just, like, I don't know, probably would get bored. I just don't know how to write very well.
That's why you go and attend classes at Imaginarium.
I have enough art on my plate. Thank you.
Yeah, you have enough mediums as it is. That's for sure. You and Pam got all kinds of stuff going.
I know. I've been also for our tables at the Friendship Shoot, I've started making these spell jars. So I have the spell candles, but now I have these spell jars, which I saw, like, in one of my creepy mom groups, people made these spell jars. So I looked it up, and I found recipes for them and stuff. And you just put all these different kinds of things in this jar.
Right.
And
right.
You, like, tell it what you intend it to do.
Right.
And then on top of it, you burn a candle on top to melt all the way down it. So it seals
it
shut. And, yeah, you just keep it around.
Yep. You can set it on your desk or carry it in your purse or whatever. I have these little tiny bottles that David Sheridan found when – he was working for a department building doing maintenance. And I probably have, there's probably 1,000 of those little things. And I got to sit them on my table here in the office. Haven't messed with them yet, but they're so tiny. But yeah, I wanted to make little spell necklaces out of them. I just, I haven't got there yet. But yeah, if you need any little tiny jars, I got tons. And they got the pluggers at the top too.
These are about 16-ounce jars.
Yeah, they're bigger.
Yeah.
And that would be neat, like I said, to sit on a desk, you know, an office desk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
you,
far
could,
I have
you can do
one,
them.
I have one for wealth, so it's supposed to help you make money. And then I have one for love because, you know, and I have another one. It's called Fuck Off Negative Vibes. Which
love
is
it.
He called it, so I don't know.
I love it. I'm all about the positivity. You need to shed the negativity. That's why we're always big about, you know, getting your tribe. Me, Daniel, and Steven talk about this a lot. you have to find your tribe. You learn who you can trust, who you can't, and who's positive, who's negative, you know, and you build your tribe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have to do that in a creative community.
Yeah, I never once in a million years, I never knew how, like, creative and artistic Diana was. I never once in a million years thought that I'd just be randomly messaging her and being like before the podcast, I was like, I messaged her, I was like, I'm so nervous. And I never thought in a million years that she would be somebody that I would, when I was nervous about something or I'm doing something new, that she'll message me and I'll message her. And I think that's awesome. Yeah, I agree. You have to find out who is good for you and stick with it.
Yep. And who causes you anxiety and trauma, and purge them. And, yep. You know, when you get, you guys are still very young. And,
oh.
And but when you
are
get
you,
to
are
our
you
age,
we're
you're like,
turn negative?
Well, as I said, when you get to our age, you're like, no, I don't got time for your shit. Bye-bye. You know, and we're done. Especially when you're me. You know, Steven was all nicey-nicey until we got together. I'm like, Steven, you got to put your foot down. Bye-bye. You kick these people to the curb, you know. And he's learned. You know, he's learned over the years. Yeah, maybe I need to listen to Holly. So, now he kind of, you know, listens more.
To an extent.
But, yeah, Diana's been brought up that way.
Severe.
You know, Diana's been brought up that way to not take crap off of no one. And even when she was a kid, she used to give them hell at school, you know, and some was justified, some wasn't. But, you know, she didn't let them run her over, that's for sure.
I know. People ask me all the time, have you ever been in a fist fight? And I'm like, well, not really. I've punched people, but I've never been hit back.
They knew better. They knew better.
Yeah, and it would be like, well, I always felt so guilty afterwards. I'd always take my ass to the office myself, and I'd be like, hey, I just hit this person.
That was what was so funny. My kids were always, they'd always own up to what they did. So if you ask them, because I was always about the truth, if you ask them if they'd done something, they'd tell you, yeah, I did. You know, or like Diana would go to the office and fess up, hey, I did this. I hit this person. The janitor at the high school, Diana was pregnant. And this nasty guy walked by her at school and called her a bitch. And Diana slapped him in the face and then punched him. So the janitor ended up nicknaming her Two Punch, and she still called her that. And it's so funny because I'll see her, like, when I go to view her, and she'll say, how's old Two Punch doing? It's so funny.
That was
but,
good.
Yeah, you know, Diana was always taught to stand up for herself, you know.
And I'm going to, why would I lie about, and like, I don't know, I can't stand liars, but, like, obviously if
right.
I hit somebody, I'm going to tell you I hit somebody because, like, what?
Right.
Why
and it's justified.
It? Right. Yeah. Well, they deserve it. I don't give a shit.
That's it. As long as it's justified, you know. I always tell my kids, don't start a fight, but, you know, don't walk away from one. You stand up for yourself, you know. And I'm that way. Y'all know me, so, you know how I am. Do what?
What? No, I was talking to Raymond.
Oh. Hello, Raymond. Raymond's her better half, if you hear that.
You were talking about yourself, and I told him we should just name this the Holly Podcast.
Oh, dear God.
No. No.
No.
No. Uh-uh. No. Daniel be like, we don't need none of that. No. We have enough.
Well, let's talk about what you got coming up, because we're coming out of this crazy pandemic a little bit, and states are definitely opening up, including Kentucky, Indiana, so forth. So it's in your region. So what is coming up for the two of you as far as events now that we're starting to live again a little more?
Well, our first show that we're doing together is the Friendship Flea Market. I'm really excited about that one. And that is June 12th through the 20th. We're going to have a booth set up there every day and, you know, sell what the things that we've made prior to the show and then take customs for whatever people want. I'm excited to see everything Diana brings. She sent me some photos of some little succulent pots. She says, Raymond says that this doesn't look like succulent.
Ooh, you've been outed.
Well, she sent me one earlier, and she's like, does this look like succulents? And I was like, all but the one I didn't know what it was. I said, I don't know what that one is, but I know what the other two are.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I can use extravagant succulents. They all, like, are specific ones, but I guess you would have to know what they were because they're not, like, the generic succulents.
Well, that's what she told me. She's like, you need to learn your succulents because this is this. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
We're hoping to, if they do the Swiss Wine Festival this year, I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything about it. We'll get together and do a booth down there for the Swiss wine. But mm-hmm. I'm definitely looking forward to the Friendship because they canceled it all last year. So that's going to be exciting. Our first biggest show.
Consider Imaginarium.
A lot of people.
Mm-hmm. But I'd really like to see her at Imaginarium. I'm trying.
Yeah, so I'll be doing that, the Friendship in June, and then Imaginarium July. And then they usually have Swiss wine in August, so that'd be 3 months
mm-hmm.
in a row if you could do that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
How many pieces do you have pre-made, ready to go?
I don't know. I have 3 big Amazon boxes full of stuff. I think I have, right now I have about 10 crocheted pieces. I just finished all my orders and stopped taking orders so I could start doing stuff for the event. But my candles, I would say I have about 30. I used all the wax I had and just pre-made candles and wax melts.
But you are still taking orders for those right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how many you got made, Pam?
I've probably got right now about 15 cups made. I've got a bunch mm-hmm. of keychains and stuff because usually when I have, like, leftover resin, I'll pour it in a keychain mold so I don't waste it. I got
mm-hmm.
a bunch of keychains, but probably about 15 to 20 cups so far.
What's on the keychains?
I have ones that look like little alien heads. I have little skull hands. I have some tarot cards, little hearts, like the Mickey Mouse ears, all just little bitty random molds that I've gotten a hold of. I have a couple Ouija boards and planchettes and stuff that I've got made up. But
cool.
Yeah, we like each other's products so much that we both have multiple of each other's things, but I do have quite a few of her keychains because she has some neat ones. I have, like, a succulent one, a cat with, like, horns, and then I have I think it's the devil tarot card, or it's death or something. I don't remember. It's upstairs.
Yeah, I had Diana make me three crochet pieces, and my absolute favorite one is my little Sam from the movie Trick or Treat. She made that, and that was my first one I got from her, and I love that thing. It's sitting up on the shelf by my bed. It is just the cutest thing, and it looks spot on, and she even, like, matched the colors. And my little girl has a Oogie Boogie from Diana, and she loves that thing. She sleeps with it every night.
Oogie Boogie always freaked me out. Always did. I love that movie so much, but oh God, Oogie Boogie just freaks me out. And that's like the little baby outfits and stuff I've seen, you know, crochet. I think you made one crocheted, the little boogie, Oogie Boogie outfit. But yeah, I'm like, oh, but.
Oh, I did. I made a Oogie Boogie Halloween costume.
Yeah.
And Lily wore it one year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. She did. That's
and
funny.
Did,
your
did,
kid likes to sleep with that. That's awesome.
I didn't post it, but I was waiting for the shoot. I made these candles to match with the Sam. I have a trick-or-treat candle now, and it's just sprinkled on top, like crushed up candy, and then they are striped orange and white. And the white is marshmallow, and the orange is candy corn scented. So
I'm so excited.
I might keep them for myself.
You guys trade off on all your stuff. That's one thing about creatives. That's just like an Imaginarium. That happens a lot where in the vendor hall, you know, authors and crafters will get together and be like, hey, you know, I'll give you a book if, you know, you trade me for that, blah, blah, and they do, and it's so cool. And, you know, sharing your art, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I do. I have two cups from her, and I use them constantly. They're my favorite cups just because,
yep.
like, the stainless steel in them, like holding the cold and stuff, but I always switch them off. So like one gets dirty and then I'll use the other one and then I wash the other one and I'm just like switching them back and forth constantly.
I always see you use the serial killer one because that's the one I love so much. So I see you use it all the time because when I'm there, that's the one I notice because I love that cup so much. It reminds me of the whole Bailey Sarian thing, you know, me and Diana love our Bailey Sarian. Pam, you like Bailey Sarian too?
Yes, I got my notifications turned on every time she posts. I'm like, yes.
Yes, yes. Well, I was explaining last night, we was in Walmart, me and Steve. And this lady had a really cool steampunk. Daniel, you would have loved it. It had the clock. It had, I mean, just all kinds of steampunk aesthetic, Victorian, and it was just fantastic. And she couldn't show me right at the cash register the whole tattoo because Walmart makes them cover it up. And I was saying, I love that tattoo. Well, she walked away a little bit, and then she looked, you know, and then she pulled up her arm and let me see it. It was badass. And I showed her my tattoo, and I said, me and my daughter have the same one. And she goes, what is Aqua Tofana? So then I had to tell, she didn't know who Bailey Sarian was. And I'm like, oh, well, you need to go Google Bailey Sarian. You need to go to YouTube, though, and look for Bailey Sarian. And I said, you need to look up Aqua Tofana. And Stephen's like, yeah, it's a good thing. Because when I first got Stephen watching Bailey, I'm like, don't even pay attention to the makeup. That's not, you're going to think I'm crazy for asking you to watch this. Don't pay attention to her doing makeup. Listen to the story. And Stephen loves to listen to her stories. I sent you one, Daniel. I don't know if you ever watched it way back when. I think it was on the Ripper. Did you watch that?
I watched something from him, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Because I sent you something of hers. Because she goes really in depth. I mean, she does a lot of background checks. And now she actually has a helper, you know, because she's got, what is it now? She's, what, 5 million or more subscribers now? I mean, it's insane. When we first started watching her, she was only like not even a million. I mean, she has just bloomed. But now she has a helper. But they do really dig deep. You know, they dig deep into the historical facts and the past. And I even learned stuff about Elizabeth Bathory, which I thought I knew everything. But she did one on Bathory here a while back, and I'm like, oh, my God, I learned stuff that I didn't even know. So I was really
impressed. Well, yeah. I listened to, like, four different podcasts about true crime, and then I watched her, too. And it's interesting because I specifically like to watch the ones that I've seen other people do, because some people leave stuff out and then other people like just don't think it's important and stuff. And then, so you actually learn a lot from like listening to the same story from different people.
Two different perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really liked her this one, the Charles Manson one. I learned a couple things that I didn't even know about when she did her latest one, the Charles Manson one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was interesting, too. I watched her one about Charles Manson. And then, but prior to that, I listened to the last podcast on the left to Charles Manson. And, like, the pieces, it was interesting how she did it. Like, the pieces she kind of skipped over, they went in depth about. So, like, I literally just learned everything.
Yeah, Daniel, you would really like that podcast. It's on Spotify, right? Diana?
Yeah.
It's called The Podcast on the Left, right?
No, the last podcast on the left.
The last podcast on the left. We listened to a few episodes on the way to Indiana one time, but you would really enjoy it because they talk about serial killers, and it's really cool. It's a really cool show.
Yeah, I got your neighbor listening to it.
Oh, you got Tony. Yeah, Tony Heiler, our neighbor back here. Yeah, he listens to it now.
No, don't out his name in the public.
Oh. Well, people know that's our neighbor. He's our buddy, our friend. When we first met him, it was so funny because our neighbor, out of the blue, and he learned Stephen's name and realized, oh, my God, he's a writer, right? Well, he actually had one of Stephen's books. It was Hellscape, wasn't it, Stephen? One of your Hellscapes?
Yeah. Yes, Hellscape's one. Complete coincidence. Yeah, he did not know me before that. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
He actually owned one on his bookshelf. And he's like, oh, you're that Stephen Zimmer? Yes, that's me. So, yeah, he thought that was the weirdest thing. It's a small world indeed.
It's small. It's crazy.
Oh, I was trying to remember to ask, Stephen, what are you drinking tonight?
What am I drinking? Well, I always have one glass of bourbon during the Star Chamber show. That's tradition. Tonight is Evan Williams Bottled in Bond is my choice for tonight.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, I'm not on a Blanton's budget being an indie author, so I have to suffice, but it is very good.
Oh, I like Evan Williams. They make all kinds of different flavors that I just love, like the peach was Evan.
Oh, yeah.
They
have good flavored bourbons. Yep. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this is their Bottled in Bond Kentucky Straight Bourbon. Yeah, good stuff.
Your brother left some peach here, and Stephen drank it, so he owes him a bottle.
Well,
but
I didn't just
Martin
drink
left
it. I made a deal with Martin.
I said if I could drink it,
I will have a full bottle for him next time.
Don't worry about it, because Martin told me he brought it because he drank all mine. And I said, no, I took your peanut butter, so... I think.
Oh, that's right. You did take his peanut butter. That's right. So really, you need to make the deal with Diana.
Right.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. We're straight. Nobody likes the peanut butter, by the way. I took it on vacation, and I tried to get all kinds of people to drink it, and nobody wanted it.
Mm. It's awful. Don't do it. What brand was that? Was that Jim Beam or what was that?
No, that was what's it called? Devil something.
I don't know, but Daniel, don't try it. It's peanut butter flavored whiskey. It's awful.
No,
Devil's Cut.
No, that's not peanut butter flavor. Devil's Cut is what you're thinking of. That's a Jim Beam product.
Was it the screwball?
I think it's called Devil's Ass.
Yeah, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah. Yeah, Devil's Cut's a regular bourbon from Jim
Beam.
Well,
this here was
very,
peanut butter flavored, and it was, God, it was bad.
No,
that's it was so bad.
It's something else.
I don't suggest
something else
it.
Entirely.
Don't,
it was like,
no, but,
I don't know, I think, like, Devil's Stokes or something like that. I don't remember.
I kind of thought it tasted good. I mean, it was interesting. it was interesting.
I don't really mind it. It kind of tastes like peanut butter fudge.
Yeah, so, that's what, definitely. Yeah, that's a good description.
I know. There's a whiskey called Screwball that tastes like peanut butter.
Hmm.
It has like a little goat or something
know.
On the front of it.
Huh. I don't know.
Interesting.
I haven't tried
interesting.
That. I like my sangria. I'm drinking my Carlo Rossi sangria tonight. Oh, and I drink a Four Loko watermelon flavored. I hadn't had the watermelon yet. I highly recommend it. It was delicious.
That's awesome.
Oh, God.
That's awesome.
I finished the whole can, and now I'm drinking my sangria. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's going to smack you in the face, and then you're going to die.
Well, we're coming up on about 4 minutes left in the show, Holly, so I do want to give both Diana and Pamela a chance to tell us where to find them online, your URLs or social media.
Okay,
so
well.
So Diana or?
Go for it.
Well, I have my Facebook business page is Cottage Core Creations, and then my Etsy is Cottage Core Co. 2, because my name was taken on Etsy, but my Etsy shop is currently closed right now since I am not taking orders till after the shoot. So,
but they can still contact you and go on up.
Yeah, they
you
can
know,
still like you can still favorite the shop or look on it, but you can't order on it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, Pam.
And I have my Facebook. It's P. Hopper Crafts. Space between each one of those. My Etsy is one word, P. Hopper Crafts. I don't have much posted there. Usually those are for, like, you can order there, but most of my locals just order on Facebook because I have to charge shipping on Etsy. And I have my Instagram is also P. Hopper Crafts.
Nice. All right. Yeah, and I actually, found you all today, actually on Instagram and all, when I was tagging for the show, actually. So I did find those. But, definitely, folks, connect with them because their stuff is fantastic, and you will not be disappointed, if you end up working with them. But,
you got any questions, Daniel, that you'd like to ask him real quick?
Give us the dates and where you're going to be at one more time so that we know where to find you out off of line.
The Friendship Flea Market is in Friendship, Indiana. That is June 12th through the 20th. It opens at 9 a.m. every day on those days. The Friendship Flea Market is like 6 miles west of Dillsboro. It's in a little bitty rinky-dink town, but the Friendship is a big deal.
Yes, it's the National Muzzleloading Association headquarters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what the dates of Imaginarium, of course, are July 9th through 11th. And then you said, where else in August? Oh, the Swiss Wine Festival, which we don't have dates yet for that, right?
Right. We don't know if they're doing it yet or not. They haven't said. Because last year they canceled it due to COVID.
But with everything being laxed now, I would say they're probably going to do it.
But,
it's always around the August 20th something. Yeah. So any closing thoughts? We've got like 1 minute.
I don't know.
Thanks for having us on.
No, it was fantastic.
Well, you're welcome. This
enjoyed
was
it.
Fun. You all have to come back. This was fun, and you all did great. And
thank you.
Yes. Tune into the show Wednesday.
I'll consider coming back since I don't know. She's asked me. Her and Stephen asked me to call in for years now, and I'm just like, and here I am. So.
One of the things that I think both of y'all need to do is start doing tutorials on YouTube or something like that. If you're not
that would be awesome.
Well, I said in a comment feed the other day that I absolutely have no patience in teaching people.
I know, so. But see, you wouldn't be holding like a class. That would just be like you talking to a camera. So you wouldn't have to listen to people physically in front of you. It's just you and the camera, and it's just like talking to one of the kids, you know, and you guys could easily do Facebook tutorials, and there's money in that because there's ads, and, you know, you get so many views and so many followers, and, yeah, it's profitable.
Yeah, the TikTok seems to be blowing up. I did do two small little 60-second tutorials on TikTok, and I got like 500 followers from that, but it's nerve-wracking.
Awesome. It is, but you get used to it. You get used to being in front of the camera, and you just pretend that nobody's there. I mean, it's just like, okay, I'm talking to myself in a mirror. Don't even think about the camera being there. Or think about, you know, it's just like Diana, and you're saying, hey, you know, here's how you do this and this and this. That's how you picture it. Don't even think about there's 1,000 people watching my shit right now. Think about it as I'm talking to my friend. I'm showing my friend how to do this. I put that all out of sight, out of mind. It's just like I'm talking to my friends. And that's how you approach it, and then, you know, there's no nerves with it.
And just
I didn't like
just,
being
just
on stage.
Stand. Now, when you're doing it, stand up so that you can move around, get you a good stand with a ring light around it that you can put your phone in or whatever, your camera in. And that way you've got good lighting on you and stuff, on your face and stuff, and be animated. Just
Use your hands.
Yeah.
And they got the ring lights. We have one, what we got on Amazon for, what was it, maybe $20?
Yeah, we have two now. We have two.
I know we do. But
the
one I use
at Staples that stands up on, it has a stand that goes up 5 feet and everything. So you can, you know, be up face, you know, right at your face height and everything, and put your camera or put your phone right in the center of it and put it on and just play.
Right.
That's basically what everybody's doing. They're just playing on there, and they're making money playing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how Bailey started out, and look where she's at.
Followers.
Absolutely.
The
same way that Paris Hilton and the Kardashians did it, so, you know.
True. Alternate revenue streams. Thank you guys for being on the show. It was fun.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, this is awesome.
Thank you for having
enjoyed it.
Had a blast.
And we'll
see.
Have you back sooner than later.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have we'll have Daniel wrap it up here, and thank you again, and definitely come back and join us soon, Diana and Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks, girls.
And this is Daniel Dark. Remember that no matter what your creativity is, there is a market for it, and there's always something new to learn. We try to help, you know, with education here on the Star Chamber, and hopefully tonight we gave you a little piece of what you can do with your creativity, with two amazing ladies that are going out and making profit from their creativity. Until we're able to talk again next week, this is Daniel Dark signing off.